Thank you so much, Fran, for hosting Shir tonight. And tonight we're already going to start Hachanas for Purim in a little bit of a more intense fashion, because we know, of course, this Shabbos, aside from being Parshas Vayakel, is not only Shabbos Mevarchim Adar Beis, but it's also Parshas Shkalim. We know that there are four very special Shabbosos with special maftir, special haftoras, and each one really is a very important landmark in terms of our spiritual growth during this time of year. And Parsha Shkalim, in some ways, is related to Purim, and in some ways, of course, it's also related to Pesach. The truth is, many explain that the Dalet Parshios are actually more connected to Pesach. We've learned that before in the past, than they are connected to Purim, even though Zachar, of course, about Amalek is right before Purim. But Purim itself, we know, is really a stepping stone leading us to Pesach. And, yeah.
What did you say? When is Zachar? Is that the Shabbos?
No. Before Purim. After Noah's wedding. Don't worry. It's after Noah's wedding. We have Shkalim. And then we have, right. Okay. Purim is the night of Shabbos Sheva Brachos.
Okay.
You.
No, I knew that.
Just to get you nervous again. Okay.
So okay.
It's in the beginning of Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe is Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe gathers together all of the congregation of the Jewish people. Vayomer Eliyam, and he says to him, Eila Advar Masher Tziva Adonai Lasos Asam. These are the things that Hashem commanded you to do them. And what are the two things? The two things are Shabbos and the Mishkan, right? Sheshes yomim te'aseh melacha, uveyom hashvi lachem kodesh, Shabbos shabbason l'adonai, kolos avo melacha yumas. The commandment of Shabbos, once again, the uniqueness is that here it says, lo sevaru esh b'chomosh v'seichem b'yom ha-shabbos. The only time it specifies a specific melacha that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and it's only kindling. Lighting a fire. We discussed this in the past from the Shlah based on Kabbalah. It means not to get angry on Shabbos. And what does that mean exactly? Halachically, it's a whole debate in the Gemara between the Tanoim exactly why that Havara Yatzas. Why is Havara, this Malacha of creating a fire, why is it singled out? But then the Torah says, V'yomer Moshe al kol adas b'nei Yisrael emar ze'al davar shar tziva Adonai lemar k'chu me'etchem truma l'Adonai kol nediv libo yivyaz truma s'Adonai zahava chesef v'nechoshes. And Rashi tells us, obviously, Rashi's always bothered by the idiosyncrasies in the Psukim. Like, what? Why is it saying this word? This is a little bit strange. And what word is strange that we read so far? Vayakel. Why Vayakel Moshe? We don't really find that anywhere else. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathers everyone together. Normally, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimar, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. So Rashi tells us, Vayakel Moshe l'machras yom ha-kippurim kishayarad minahar. Rashi, quoting Bryce of Seder Olam, says that this was the day after Yom Kippur when Moshe came down from the mountain. Right? He came down from the mountain on Yom Kippur with the Luchos Shnios, with the second Luchos. This is the day after that. V'hu lashon hifil sheino osef anoshim biyadayim elahe nasof malti alpi diburo targumo ve'achnish. That Moshe Rabbeinu is not actively gathering together by his hands, but Vayakel, he gathers them by telling them to come together. And so they come together. And so the question that many Mefarshim try and understand, why over here does Moshe Rabbeinu have to bring them together specifically? What's taking place right here? So the answer is really in this Rashi. Because L'machras miyom ha-kippurim, this is the day after the first Yom Kippur. Why was there a Yom Kippur? Because there was a Chet HaEgel, right? What did Chet HaEgel do? So we know that Chet HaEgel famously, in last week's Parsha, it says it very explicitly, caused the Jewish people to lose their crowns. When they said Nasa V'Nishma, I mean, that's, Rashi explains where did they get the crowns, but the Pasuk says they lost their crowns. And at one point it says one, and then it says they gave up the other. Clearly there's two, like, crowns the Jewish people have. So the Chet HaEgel caused them to lose a very, very high, lofty spiritual level. But you know what else the Chet HaEgel caused them to lose? it caused them to lose something else that was very, very unique about Kabbalah Satorah. Maybe the only time that the Jewish people in our history was totally, totally unified. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'har, Ki Eshachad B'Lev Echad, that the Jewish people were all together as one. And Rav Druk in his Sefer Ishtamid quotes a pasuk in Mishlei Yudches Aleph that tells us, L'tava Yivakish Nifrad, that when someone is seeking out a desire, what does it do? It separates people. Because when a person sins, what are they essentially doing? When a person sins, who are they looking out for?
Themselves.
They're only looking out for themselves. By definition, sin means that you're looking out for yourself. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. When a person is looking to fulfill a taiva, that is their drive to fulfill a desire, they don't care about anyone else. They are just focused on themselves. And so when the Jewish people sin by the Chet HaEgel, what happens? What happens is not only that they lose the crowns of Nasa and Ishma, they lose something else so unique. And we know that this is what's often referred to in Dayenu, right? One of the classic Divrei Torah that the kids say at the Seder. I don't know, literally I heard it 6 times, and by the time Racheli got to it at time 5, I just like, I don't know, the wine was particularly strong that year. I'm like, yeah, I know the perfume shop. She was like, what?
And
my kid, the older kid starts cracking up, and she was crying because everyone started laughing. They thought they were laughing at her. Like, no, we're not laughing at you. We're just laughing that Ava's like, just had that Dvar Torah enough. He's heard it like every year now for lots of years. But yeah, I know, right? Ilu kervanu l'fnei har Sinai v'lo nasalan nasona Torah dayenu. That if they came to Har Sinai and they didn't receive the Torah, would be enough. What does that mean? So the classic mashal is that the kids don't understand it, though. That's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. The classic parable is that when a person goes into a perfume shop, even though you don't buy any perfume, you still come out smelling nice. Right? Is that true? I don't know. I haven't gone into a perfume shop, I don't think, ever. Right?
But I'm upset, so I never heard that one.
You never heard that one? Are you serious?
You have boys.
Oh my gosh. Right.
But
the question on that Dvar Torah, when the kids give it, ask them, so what was that nice smell that they got from Har Sinai? What do you mean? Meaning, so they got a nice smell because they were in the perfume shop. What was the nice smell? What's the nimshel? Meaning, that's a nice parable. What's the nimshel? What did they get? You know what they got? They got the achdus. Vayichan shom Yisrael neged ahar. That's exactly the point. Ilu kervanu lefnei Har Sinai. V'lo nasan lanu satorah dayenu. That would have been enough. If Hashem helped bring us to Har Sinai without giving us the Torah, that experience would what? What experience is enough? What smell did we get out of Har Sinai? Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Neged Har, Kishachad, Levechad. That Achdus is what brings the Jewish people together. Right? That Achdus is what was the uniqueness, the beautiful smell of Har Sinai. And what happens is that this was lost. This was lost when they sinned with the Egel Azov. And what's the classic? How is it brought down in the most chilling and shocking way? What did we read in Parshas Kisisa? That when the Levim went to Moshe, Mil Hashem Elai, and what did they do? Just like Levi went with Shimon into Shechem and wiped out a city, what did the Bnei Levi do on Moshe's behest? They went and were killing people who were worshiping the idols, who were still involved in the arayas, the sexual immorality. They went through the camp killing people. And the pasuk says explicitly, they killed their brothers and their sons. What does that mean, they killed their brothers and their sons? Again, Rashi explains. One second, if they were Levim, their brothers were Levim, their sons were, no, it meant grandsons through a daughter that married a non-Levi. It meant a brother from a mother, so not the same father. So they one was a Levi, one wasn't a Levi. Could there be any symbol of breaking of Achdus more than that? Meaning that's what the Pasuk in Kisis is telling us. Why is it she's telling us that they killed it? Yes, that for Hashem's sake, they do what they have to do. They didn't want to do this, but you do what you have to do. In war, we don't want to kill anyone. But sometimes you have to kill in a war, right? And we know what's going on. That's what you have to do. But it's deeper. when it says that a person killed his brother, killed his son, it's saying that achdus that they had at Har Sinai is totally crushed. It's totally gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So now Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. What does he have to do? What does he come down? He comes down from Har Sinai with the two... Exactly. Exactly, Fran. He comes down from Har Sinai. He has to try and recreate. He has to try and bring that back. That achdus. So that's what he's saying. Vayakel. Moshe brings them together. And he discusses two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs that he discusses? What are the two mitzvahs to bring us together? The first is Shabbos. And the second is the Mishkan. Shabbos is actually, you know, Lo Sevaru Ish B'chol Moshe Seichem B'yom HaShabbos. Don't make a fire, so you have to have chulin together, right? Chulin is when everyone put their paten together in the bakery's ovens. No, but really, you know, Rav Druk, what he brings down so beautifully. After Masecha Shabbos, what's the next Masecha and Shas? Gemara Mishnayos? It's called... No. It's called Erevin. What does Erev literally mean? You know what Erev literally means? It means to combine. It means to bring together. La'arev means to mix together. You know what Erevin is all about? Erevin is creating one Rishus in all of Springfield, New Jersey. The whole concept of Erevin, the whole concept of Shabbos, is that the Jewish people can literally be one entity. That's what it is. That's what creation of an Erev is. It's not, you know, the poles and the wires or the box of matzah or the money that I gave Chief Cook, the police chief. Right, it wasn't a bribe, don't worry. It's when you rent Rishus, because the police can go into anyone's home. They're like the only ones that can do that. So they have entry anywhere. It's an interesting halachic discussion. Spoke to Rabbeim a lot before and went and did it. And can't do it with paper bills because that's not real money. You have to give coins, like lots of quarters. Went up to Chief Cook. He's like, Rabbi, what is this? And I explained it to him. He's like, what do I do with this money now? Whatever you want, Chief Cook. So he goes, okay, guys.
I'm not understanding that. A quick side question. Why do you have to give the police chief money?
It's called Schiras Rishus. You have to rent the domain of Springfield. Who is the only people that can go anywhere in Springfield into anyone's house?
Oh,
who are the only one that has the right to do that? So that's why some say you go to the mayor, you go to the congressman. Others say, no.
Every community does it?
I believe so. I hope so. On some level, yes. There's something called Schiras Rishus. It's part of the Erev.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
give it to all tours.
You see that? And about perfume shops. You never do that. What do you mean? You're so young, Fran. What are you talking about? Too old. Come on.
Whatever.
Fran.
Let's move on.
So that's one thing. One thing is Shabbos. Shabbos brings people together. Isn't it true that like all week long you don't see people and all of a sudden you come to shul? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes Friday night, everyone's coming into shul. And I'm like, okay, let's shmooze after davening, everyone. I know you're so excited to see each other. It's a beautiful thing. Let's talk after davening, right? And that's a beautiful thing. But when we talk about the Mishkan, the Vilna Gaon, in his Perush on Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yedzayin, he says, do you know what the whole reason for the Mishkan was? It was to bring people together. That's the whole purpose of the Mishkan. That's what the Gra says. Because what do we stress by the giving of the Mishkan over and over? Nedivas Halev, generosity of heart, generosity of heart. That through the giving in the Mishkan, what happens? We bring everyone together. That is the whole essence of the Mishkan. That's what the Gra says. It's the whole purpose of the Mishkan is really to bring the hearts of the Jewish people together. Because when you give to something, and this is an idea we've discussed many times before, it's in the Pasuk, it's in the Sefer Archo Sadikim. If there's someone that bothers you and you want to get over that botheredness, what are you supposed to do? Give to that person. When you give to that person, you will come to love them. That's why the root of the Hebrew word of love is have, to give. People make the mistake. Love is an expression of, giving is an expression of love. No. Love is the emotion that comes when you give to a person. One time I had this story with a roommate who was very trying, and I went to a Rebbe, and he's like, Chaim, just do a lot of favors for him. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, just do a lot of favors for him, and you'll see. And you know what? Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I went to the Rebbe. He's like, just like do whatever you can, do favors. Because I thought he was like annoying, whatever, you know. And after 2 weeks, I went to the Rebbe. He's like, how's it going? I'm like, oh, it's fine. He's not annoying anymore. He's like, no, he's still annoying. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, he's not. He's like, no. He is. You just changed. Right? Mamish, I'm telling you. True story. It's... No. God forbid. So this is the whole idea that the Nedivas HaLev is so everyone gives to that focal point. And that's Ma'asif. That gathers all the Jewish people together. When everyone gives. And that's why some explain, it's interesting, Tefillah is supposed to be the same experience, right? That's why Tefillah B'Tzibur is a much higher experience. Davening with a community is a much more powerful experience and much more effective than davening on your own. Because when you daven with the Tzibur, and we said this before from Rav Soloveitchik, why a shul is known as a Beis HaKnesses, a house of gathering, it should be what? A shul should be called a Beis Tefillah, a house of prayer. Why is it called a house of gathering? Because part of the essence of Tefillah B'Tzibur is gathering with other people and seeing each other and davening for each other. That's part of the experience of prayer. And when they talk about the Beis HaMikdash being a unifying factor, the Mishkan being a unifying factor, it is a pretty amazing thing that Jews all over the world, when they daven, what do? Where do they all turn? They all turn to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you turn to Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you turn to the Makom HaMikdash. In the Makom HaMikdash, sometimes you'll see people at the Kotel davening on a slant. You ever notice? Mm-hmm. Next time you're there, notice. Why? Because when you're on the Makom, when you're on Har HaBayis, you're supposed to daven towards the Kodesh Kadashim. So Kodesh Kadashim is that way when you're facing the Kotel. So you will see people at the Kotel davening on a slant in that direction because they believe that the argument why some people just face the wall is you're not on Har HaBayis, you're outside of Har HaBayis, so you just face the Makom HaMikdash. But when you're on Har HaBayis, you would face. So that, believe it or not, there's a halachic debate why some people are slanted when they're davening at the Kotel and why some people are just davening straight. And this, of course, is also the very symbol at the heart of the Mishkan. What was the heart of the Mishkan? The Kruvim, on top of the Aron, where God spoke from to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that we spoke about it on Shabbos, the Kruvim, were in the image of children, Parsei Kenafayim, always looking for more and more. But also the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us, Daf Tes Tzadi Tes, that when the Jewish people are doing Hashem's will, what were the Kruvim doing? The Kruvim were locked in an embrace, not just facing each other. Uram Zebizeh, they were like literally, they were embracing each other. That was what the Kruvim were doing. So what Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayakel Moshe, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Alehem, Eila Advar Mashar Tziv Hashem Lasos, Osam. This is what Hashem wants. Why is he specifically talking about these two things? Because after Chet HaEgel, we lost something very precious from the Sinai experience. We lost that achdus. We lost that smell of the perfume shop. And you know how we're going to get it back? With Shabbos and with building a Mishkan together. That's how we're going to bring these things back. And of course, this is the first real introduction to Purim. Why is this introduction to Purim? The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, tells us that sometimes Hashem creates the refuah before the makkah. Hashem puts the healing in place before the person even gets sick, right? And what's an example? They say an example is the mitzvah of shkalim, of machtzis hashekel. Why? Because Goli Viadua, it was revealed and known before the creator of the world that there was a person whose name was going to be Haman. And Haman was going to go to Achashverosh and give him 10,000, the weight of 10,000 talents of silver. What was that supposed to measure? All of the machatzis hashekels of the Jewish people together. Meaning representing all the Jewish people. He was giving Achashverosh basically blood money to wipe out the Jewish people. Hashem says, you know what? Before Haman gives his money to Achashverosh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have the Jewish people give money. And that's what we learned in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Shkalim. Be'echad ba'adar, mashmiya mal Shkalim. In the first of Adar, that's why they would announce in the Beis Din that make sure you give your half shekel soon. Make sure you give your half shekel. Why be'echad ba'adar? Because Hashem saw. Hashem saw what Haman was going to do. And by the way, right, what are the psukim right before that? Meaning, that's after he makes the argument to Achashverosh of Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Mefurad Ba'amim. There's one nation that's scattered and separated amongst your nations, amongst all of your provinces, amongst all of your regions, and amongst all of your countries. And so then he says, and this is the blood money, basically. Take this money, Achashverosh, and let's sign the decree to kill them, wipe them all out. And Hashem said, before you give your money to Achashverosh, I'm going to have the Jews give money. And the Machatis HaShekel, what's the essence of the Machatis HaShekel? Rav Moshe Wolfson, beautifully, Mashkiach of Torah Vadas, Rav of Emunas Yisrael, in Borough Park, he says, the essence of the Machatis HaShekel is to draw the Jewish people together. That every Jew gives, and what's it used for? There were two main things. The Machatis HaShekel, when it's first given, was to make the Adonim, the sockets. What were the sockets? The sockets is what built the Mishkan. It's the base of the whole Mishkan, where the sockets that the boards went into, it held up the whole Mishkan. It held up the whole Mishkan. Some say Adar, Rav Wolfson points out, Adar Begematria is Kuf Adonim, 100 sockets. That's the essence of Adar. The 100 sockets that held up the Mishkan that brought the Jewish people all together. And he says even further, Rav Wolfson has a shocking comment. He says, you know what the primary avoda of Adar and all of Purim is? The primary avoda of Adar and all of Purim, he says, is giving tzedakah. Man, this is what Rav Wolfson says. The primary mode of divine service for the month of Adar and of Purim is giving tzedakah. You know why? I mean, and again, it is interesting, isn't it? That Purim, Pesach, there's Kimcha de Pischa, which is a minug. It's a minug that Yerushalmi talks about. The Yerushalmi talks about giving special tzedakah before Pesach, because why? Pesach is just so expensive, right? Meaning that's Kimcha de Pischa. But Purim, it has its own formal mitzvah of Matanis Alvionim that can't come out of other tzedakah. It's not the meaning the actual basic obligation. Every person over bat mitzvah, over bar mitzvah, has to give a gift to two poor people. And how much is it supposed to be? The matanos le'evyonim. It should be enough for a meal. So how much is that? Some people say a meal today is $5. What can you get for $5? What, a bagel? Bagel, I don't even think you get bagel and cream cheese with coffee. Bagel with butter and cream cheese, right? Maybe. So that's why it's probably gone up a little. It's probably closer to 10 for each ani. So it's probably about $20 per person. You could give a lot more. And as the Rambam writes, more than you spend on your suda, more than you spend on your mishloach manos, more than you spend on your costumes, you should give to Matanos Alvionim. That's the Ikar Avod of Purim, Rav Wolfson says. It's the Ikar Avod of all of Adar. And why is that? Why is that? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, in the month of Nisan, we were redeemed. And in the month of Nisan, we will be redeemed. So what do we have to do to prepare for redemption? You know what we have to do to prepare for redemption? We have to give tzedakah. Why giving tzedakah? And listen to where these psukim are from. The first pasuk is the last pasuk from Shabbos Chazon. What Shabbos Chazon? The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. The last pasuk in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, from the beginning of Yeshayahu, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, Zion will be redeemed with justice, v'shaveha, and its captives will come back, b'tztaka, with the mitzvah of tztaka that you do. Meaning, the last words of the Navi before, Eicha Yashva Vadad. The last words of the Navi, before we hear the words of Yirmiyahu on Tisha B'Av night, Eicha Yashva Vadad, is Vishaveha bitztaka. The captives of Zion will return when the Jewish people do righteousness, when the Jewish people do tztaka. And then the haftorah of a fast day. Of a fast day. Yishayo anavi perek nunvav. Ko amar adonai. Shimru mishpat vasu tztaka. Guard justice and do tztaka. Why? Ki krova yeshua si lavo vitzid kasi lihigalos. Because my salvation is coming close and my tzedakah will be revealed. You hear that? You hear what Yeshayahu is telling us? And when do we lay in these psukim? The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av and on a fast day. And don't forget what the Rambam writes in Perek Hey of Hilchos Tanios. The fast days, again, aside from Yom Kippur and Tanis Esther, meaning the four fast days of Churban, you know why we fast them? To motivate us to pray for Geula, to do tshuva, to bring the Geula closer. So this is what Rav Wolfson says, that you know why the Avoda of Adar and the Avoda of Purim is tztaka? Because this is all preparation for Pesach. It's all preparation for Nisan of Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidin Ligal. In Nisan, we were redeemed, and Nisan, we will be redeemed. And the Balatanya, Zechusa Ginaleinu, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, and his Yigeris HaKodesh writes that the Iker Avod and Ikfasa de Mashiacha is going to be tztaka. The Iker Avoda in Ikfasa de Mashiacha is going to be tztaka. And it makes so much sense because what did we discuss last time? We didn't discuss it there. This was in a different shiur that I discussed this. But the idea that, remember, we've said many times, the Vilna Gaon said in Ikfas of the Mashiacha, it's going to be the hardest time to be a frum Jew. Why is it going to be the hardest time to be a frum Jew? Because the Jewish people are going to be wealthier than ever before. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. This is what, and it's quoted in that Peirush on Shir HaShirim. The Vilna Gaon told his students over 200 years ago, the hardest time to be religious Jews is going to be at Ikfas of the Mashiacha, and it's not going to be pogroms. It's not going to be anti-Semitism, which didn't exist as a word until more recently, but it's going to be because the Jews are going to be materialistically better off, and that is the hardest Yetzahar for Jews to overcome. So isn't it interesting that the Balatanya writes in the Igeres HaKod, in the Igeres HaTshuva, the letter of Tshuva, which we have to do at the end of days, is that the Iker Avod of Ikvaz of the Mashiachas Nesinas Tztaka is overcoming that Yetzahar, because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rav Wolfson quotes, the Zohar HaKadosh says is a special malach, a special yitzar, that you know what he does, this malach? Just when we go to give tzedakah, tries to push our hand down. Just pushes our hand down that we shouldn't give. That's what there's a specific malach, that's a challenge, to create this spiritual challenge for us. And it's not an easy thing to do. We all know it's not an easy thing to do, to give. But Rav Wolfson says that we have to wage a war and break this ra'ayim. This bad eye, not an evil eye, the bad eye of not forgiving, of not nedivasayin, of not nedivas halev. And this is a big yetzahar that we have to overcome. It's not an easy thing. And that's why when we're coming to Purim, Purim is getting us ready for this. The Matanas Lavionim campaigns, look, that's why every yeshiva tries to send guys out all over. I always tell the story how like I'm like traumatized by people in gorilla costumes. Because... Why, Fran? Because my father's the rabbi, the young Israel of Staten Island, Purim every year. You can imagine the amount of people come. That's why we were never home Sudas Purim. We normally went to my grandparents in Far Rockaway for Sudas Purim, because otherwise it was insane. And people were just constantly coming to Fritztaka. And I remember one year before my father was even home from the Megillah, Purim night, I don't know where these guys are, Megillah, I was knocking on the door. I'm a little kid, maybe 7, 8. My grandmother's in the house. I go to open the door. I open the door, and a gorilla barges into my house. Some yeshiva guy. Right? Like a little kid. A big gorilla costume barges into my home. I'm traumatized by people in gorilla costumes, right? You can imagine that was very scary. But all day, people. Because what does it say? Call a poshet yad nosin lo. Anyone who sticks out a hand, he's supposed to put something in it on Purim. That's why everyone comes to give. Everyone comes to ask for tzedakah on Purim. That's why I know people go and get lots of singles before Purim. They go to a bank. You live in Borough Park, you go, you get 1,000 singles. No joke. People give out thousands of dollars just in cash on Purim. People just coming around constantly. Constantly. So this is part of the avoda. But this is part of the avoda when we think about tzedakah. What is it? It's about coming together. What does tzedakah ultimately do? Tzedakah binds two people together and brings Mashiach. That's why. Because when you give to another person, what do we say? What does that do? It increases the love towards that person. You give tzedakah to a poor Jew, what does that do? That's marba, the ava that you have towards that person. It's building love for that person. And so this is something when we think about Vayakel Moshe bringing all the people together, This is the whole avoda. This is the whole avoda. And I mentioned it at the Purim cotton tish that we had in our home, and it's something that is very disturbing. You know, the cracks in the wall of Achdus in Eretz Yisrael are starting to form. Whether it's drafting the Haredim and protests taking place today, highways being shut down, we have to do everything that we can. And again, as I told someone, you know, maybe because we're in America, maybe for us the Achdus shouldn't be as hard. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there are levels of challenges I have nothing to do with. I have to stay away. I don't think it's fair for any of us to talk about that if we're living in America. Should draft Haredim, shouldn't draft Haredim. One second, are your kids in the army? Don't talk. Do you have that challenge? You don't know what it is, so don't talk about it. And I really believe Americans have no right to talk about that issue. Until your kids are there, until you face that challenge, you have no right to an opinion on it. But I just know that that's an issue that can literally tear apart Israeli society. Mamish.
Well, it did before October 7th.
It was one of the issues that was. Yeah. You're right, friend. And now it's starting up.
It's happening.
And it's very painful. And so, again, what we have to do in Springfield, New Jersey, is because we don't have such intense issues, such strong issues that really can rip a society apart, I think we have the achrayas to double down on whatever we can do, on whatever we can do to try and bring achdus. And again, the time to do it is now. Now. That's the whole reason why we have the shkolim. That's why it's the avoda, as Rav Wolfson says, the avoda of Adar. The main, again, does that sound crazy? The main avoda of Adar and Purim is tztaka? Isn't that shocking to you? Have you ever heard that before?
No.
I have to be honest, I've never seen it before until I seen it in Rav Wolfson. But he quotes many Makoros, and it makes so much sense. And he has a lengthy pieces explaining it. Alpi different Midrashim, alpi different ideas in Kabbalah, different Gemaras. But this is something that we have to think about in a real way. There are a few other varts to talk about tonight. But we're just going to end. We're just going to end with one quick one, because it's a very, very famous medrash that Rav Druk quotes his father, Rav Druk, right? Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Druk, Yisrael Meir quotes his father, Rav Mordechai Druk, with a beautiful explanation. We know there's a very strange word again in the second pasuk in the parasha, Sheshes Yamim. What's it? 6 days. What's the next word? You remember?
Shavuot.
Te'aseh Milacha. What does Te'aseh Milacha mean? Exactly. Thank you, Mira. The native Israeli speaker amongst us. Te'aseh Milacha means the Milacha will be done. It doesn't mean you will do Milacha. It doesn't say Sheshes Yamim. What should it be? It means you should do it. Te'aseh. That you should do Milacha. Sheshes Yamim Te'aseh Milacha. Your work should be done. What does that mean? So it's a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Think of it. What does it mean 6 days a week your work should be done? Your work will be done. Not tase, you should do work, but your work will be done. So Rav Druk says, this is a famous medrash. You heard this from his father in Bereshis Rabbah. That when Hashem was deciding whether or not to change the world, to create the world, to create man, so there was an argument going out. And truth stood up and said, don't create man, don't create human beings. Kulo shekirin. They're entirely false. They're entirely false. So how do most people understand that? That why did? What does it mean they're entirely false? That they're going to speak lies. People lie all the time. People lie all the time. They're not truthful. Don't create human beings. So Rav Druk's father, Rav Mordechai Druk, says, I understand. What do you say? Moshe emes v'toroso emes. We have great, great, very, very spiritually great people that they didn't say lies. They spoke truth. They lived I don't understand. So Rav Druk says is, no. The Nidav Emes told Hashem, by creating human beings, the very essence of a human being's existence is a lie. What does that mean? Because what does it look like to us? That we work and we accomplish, and kochi va'otzim yadi asa li asachai, that the strength of my hand has done this, right? Remember we said what was the most popular bumper sticker in Israel after the Six-Day War? Yisrael betach, betzahal. That Israel's trusts in the army. But after 73, it was Yisrael betach, b'Hashem. And so the very nature of human existence is a lie. We think that we do. We think that we have independent, we're not going to get into the whole Bechira Chafshis debate and the whole issues in Jewish philosophy of how that works out. But the whole idea, Sheshes Yamim Te'asa, Melach of Yom HaShvi Yilachem Kodesh, that Hashem is doing your work for 6 days. Meaning what we accomplish is in the realm of spirit. What happens in those 6 days, Te'asa, that's done. That's from Hashem. What a person is able to accomplish in the Olam HaGashmi, that all comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. It all comes from Hashem. We have to put in Hishtadlus, we have to put in effort, and of course, but that's as the Ramban writes in his commentary in Parshas Vayeshev, HaGezeira Emes V'Acharitza Sheker. God's decree is true, all of our efforts, ultimately, they're lies. Don't get caught up in the lie. And that's what the Medrash says, that Kulo Sheker, that a person is Kulo Sheker. That the very essence of human beings, of humankind, is sheker. To see ourselves as independent of God, to see ourselves as bale yicholes in a physical realm. Our greatest yicholes is in the spiritual realm. Is by redeeming the sparks of holiness. By creating a space for Hashem in this world. That's exactly the Mishkan. That is about creating, once again, that vayakel moment. And that's the challenge that I think that we have today. And as we listen to Parsha Shkolim this Shabbos, to think about that this mitzvah that we're reading about is ultimately what brings down Haman. But how does it bring down Haman? Because this mitzvah is about Jews giving to each other. This mitzvah is about Jews being connected to one another. And Hashem should help us that we can live such lives, that we can live lives of connection, lives of giving, lives that in this challenge of intense and immense materialism, we don't get swept up, we don't get swept away, God forbid, but we understand what's right and we overcome that malach that the Zohar says is pushing our hands down, not letting us lift it up and give to others. Yishkoyach, thanks again, Fran, for hosting.